Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. What happens at Faith School? My spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. The scripture talks about that when you're born again, you become a Christian, you're born a baby, a spiritual baby. And as the scripture says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And so just like you're born, when you're born physically, you're not born mature, fully developed. You're not born an adult. You're born a baby. And if you're fed, did you hear the word if? If you're fed and you exercise and everything's normal, you develop and you eventually grow up to be an adult. Well, spiritually, this is the same way. And that's why he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. And the Bible differentiates between the milk of the word and the meat of the word and strong meat of the word. Well, babies, little babies can't eat T-bones, right? Steak or strong food like that. And the same thing is true with us spiritually. There are things that'll just go right over your head. It just seems too much for you to chew. And so, but the way to develop and grow, you must hear the milk of the word. You must hear some of the word in order to grow and develop. And hearing, morality, hearing philosophy, hearing, you know, things that are involved in education and mental things, these will not feed your spirit. You won't develop spiritually by feeding on a bunch of intellectual things. That's feeding the mental, not the spiritual. And so the reason we start off our class by saying, my spirit is fed. That's what we want. There in this world, there are billions spent in every nation practically on mental development, school and university and these kind of things. And there are billions spent on physical development, sports, and training and competitions. But for the most part, spiritual is not even acknowledged. And as a result, many people spiritually are, I'm talking about Christians now, they are emaciated spiritually. They are, I started to say malnourished, but they're unnourished. And the thing about it, if you don't feed the body for an extended period, it'll die. But spiritually, your spirit won't die. It'll just languish in that unfed state. Oh, but thank God there is a feeding. Amen. From the Word of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said this. He said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Job said, I have esteemed your words more than my necessary food. If you had to pick between eating physically and eating spiritually, you should eat spiritually first, because that affects how you see everything. That affects your faith and your hope and your confidence and your peace and your joy. So just elaborating some on why we have Faith School, what goes on. And, you know, you want to be a part of a good church where they don't just, you know, talk about ideas, but somebody reads the scripture and talks about the scripture and teaches and preaches the scripture, because that is the only thing that will build you up on the inside so that you're spiritually, you actually begin to grow and develop out of the babyhood stage and into the, you know, the childhood stage and then the teen area stage. And if you keep going, you can grow up and become more and more like the Master himself. That's what we're called to. So, Father, all of us pray. We submit ourselves to you, saying this is what we also desire, is to grow up and be like you and to develop out of the babyhood stage into a full, mature individuals spiritually. So we reach out to you, knowing that you who have made us, you know how to feed us and how to nourish us. And so we ask for your words and ears to hear them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. For some weeks now, we've been on a topic, on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And again, faith comes by hearing what God has said. And so we're going one by one, giving 30 reasons from scriptures why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Why don't you say that out loud? Abundant provision,
abundant provision
is always
God's will
for us all.
For us all.
One more time. Abundant provision,
abundant provision
is always
God's will
for me.
Now,
I know that that is a radically different concept than even what many church-going people have, because you'll hear people say, well, you know, I went through some really hard times financially, but, you know, I found God in those times, and I got closer to the Lord, and so it was His will and it was His plan. Was it? Was it? You don't ascertain the will of God by what has happened or what hasn't happened. You ascertain the will of God by what God said, which is unchanging. Yes. Now, I know that sounds simple, but people are missing it right and left with this. Well, it didn't happen, so it must not have been the will of God. Well, it did happen. It was bad, and we don't understand it, but, you know, everything happens for a reason. Well, the reason could be you didn't listen, and you missed God. No. God is not controlling everything that is happening in everybody's life, and everything that's happening is not His will. He said He's not willing that any should perish. Amen. Right? Amen. How many is He willing to perish? None. So does that mean that no one is perishing? No. Millions are perishing against the will of God, contrary to the will of God. There are many things happening on this planet that are not God's will. They don't please Him, but He's given human beings a really completely free will. And He's allowed us to choose. Choose whether we believe in Him, choose whether we listen to Him, choose whether we follow Him and obey Him or not. And depending on what you choose, you get a totally different outcome. If you choose to listen to Him, you get a good outcome. If you choose to ignore Him and disobey Him, you get a bad outcome. And that wasn't His will. That was your choice. Well, we can't control everybody, but we can control our choice. Right? So how many are going to choose to follow Him? Let's see, a show of hands. I'm looking in the camera right now. Okay. Like I said, we've been giving one by one 30 reasons from Scripture why we're sure it's God's will for us to have abundance, abundant provision. We started out with number one, with the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then we went to the goodness of God, the fatherhood of God, the creation of God, God's will in heaven. Talked about the God of Abraham and how we are the seed of Abraham. We talked about the blessing of tithing, talked about honor and riches. And when I mentioned these, what's that have to do with it? Well, the Lord said if you would honor Him, He would honor you. And He describes in some cases honor being doing things materially. For instance, when He says honor your father and mother, Jesus explained that as doing something for mother and father financially and materially. That's part of honoring. It's not just empty words, it's also actions, which is another reason for you to prosper,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And do well so you can have something, so you can help your children, help your grandchildren, help your parents, help preach the gospel,
yes.
Right? The list goes on.
Yes.
Well, if you have nothing, what can you do? No, it's not God's will. It's His will that we have abundant provision. We talked about being an imitator of God. We talked about the great I Am. We talked about the names of God. We saw that God is El Shaddai. Hallelujah. He's the all-sufficient one. We saw that He's Jehovah Jireh. We saw that He's the God who looks ahead and meets our needs and supplies our needs. And like we said before, we of all the names, we never saw anything that resembled El Cheapo. You know, the God who wants you broke. Never saw anything like that. Now, you're laughing, but there's a lot of people that leave this impression, or they say, well, you know, yeah, you know, we just don't understand, but God, you know, God has chosen for some people to be, you know, born into amazing wealth and live in extravagance, and other people, you know, scramble for something to eat every day. We don't know why God has ordained that. God did not ordain that. Are y'all listening or not? No. God didn't ordain that anybody struggle and starve. Ever. And to say that He did is insulting to His character. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. And so what has happened is that people have rejected God. And sometimes previous generations in a nation, in a country, in a place, rejected God, replaced God with false gods, and sadly, their children pay the price, and their grandchildren. And sometimes after generations of this, a place is destroyed. And people say, well, you know, I wonder why God did that to them. He didn't do that to them. They did that to them. They refused to listen to Him. And He will, though, anytime, no matter where you are, if you'll reach up and call on Him and ask for His help, He'll be there. He'll come. He'll restore you, which was the next one we looked at, the God of restoration. No matter how badly you messed up, and if you lost everything, He will still restore you, even to better than before, if you will repent. We looked at how God provided in the wilderness, and saw that He can and will provide for you anywhere. And we saw that He gave them the promised land. And He said that it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was a land that was pleasant and good. And He said, a land where you will not want for anything. You won't lack or want for anything good in the earth. Well, that used to be His will for His people. When did He change? He didn't change. People have changed. Religion has changed. Men's ideas have changed. God didn't change. It's still His will for you to have all that you need and not be lacking anything that you need and even enjoying some things. Amen?
Amen.
We're down to number 17 now in our study, and that is we are sure that abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of the covenant blessing. The covenant blessing. Last week we got into this some, studying how that God is a covenant God. Always has been, always will be. What is a covenant? A covenant is an agreement, a pact, a contract, between at least two parties, usually written, and it's a solemn, serious agreement that includes promises, commitments, and repercussions if you break the covenant. And the most serious and the strongest covenant of all is the blood covenant. And that's what God has done over and over again from the beginning. And if you read in the Old Testament and the covenants there, you'll see that the covenant was sealed with the blood of innocent animals. And Hebrews talks about that, that you know, they sprinkled all the articles with the blood, and it was sealed, like I said, with blood. But the scripture said that the blood of animals could not take away sin. It could only cover it so that God could treat his covenant partners like they hadn't sinned. But next year was a remembrance made of it and more blood shed. And the fact that blood was shed and a life was sacrificed, in this case the animals, shows how serious the covenant is. It's sealed in blood. Well, coming all the way to the New Testament, the Bible tells us that we are now in a covenant with him, and it's a better covenant, established upon better promises, and that he is the mediator of this better covenant, and that we are sealed with this blood, the blood of the Lamb, and it is an everlasting covenant. Well, when God gave details about the covenants, going all the way back to Noah and Abraham and through Moses to the Israelites, and the list goes on, you'll find that even though these are, you could call them, you know, separate covenants, yet they're interconnected. And really, he's always saying the same thing. And the commitments are the same. It's just more detail is given and more revelation as time progressed until we got all the way to the new covenant. But look with me in Deuteronomy, please. The 30th chapter, Deuteronomy 30. We'll begin reading here in about verse 8. It says, "You'll return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments which I command thee this day." You will hear this phrase many times. Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Do my commandments. This is not just an Old Testament phrase. If you read the New Testament, you'll see the same phrase. Do my commandments. Keep my commandments. You'll see it in 1 John. You'll see it in the Gospel account of John. You'll see it in numerous places. What does that mean? Another way of saying that is, listen to me. Right? Yes. Listen to me. Don't ignore me. Do what I tell you to do. Is that still a good idea today? Huh? Yes. I mean, that's not an old, you know, irrelevant concept. Should you still listen to God?
Yes.
Do what he tells you to do.
Yes.
What if you won't listen to him? Will your life be different?
Yes.
Yeah. To think, well, I'll just, you know, it doesn't matter. We're under grace. And so grace will take care of everything. And nothing's up to me. It's all up to God anyway. And so you don't pray. You don't seek God. You don't try to hear. You don't try to listen. You don't read his word. You don't try to find out what he said to you through his word. And then when something comes up that is his word, well, you hadn't got time for it. You're too lazy to do it. Will you be blessed the same anyway? No, you won't. Some people try to imply that you will be, but you won't. And it wouldn't be that God is holding out on you. It's that you're not cooperating with him. We are to walk by faith. What's the walking involved? Walking with him. We are laborers together with him. We're supposed to cooperate with him. We're supposed to seek him every day of our life. We're supposed to pray. That may be a new concept to suppose. How many think you should pray?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
You're supposed to pray. You're supposed to spend some time praying. Or just spend some time talking with God, communing with God, talking, asking questions, giving thanks, praising, and listening.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Listening. And then when he tells you to do something, do it. Don't put it off. He goes on to say, and the Lord God, in other words, if you'll do what he tells you to do, the Lord your God will make you plenteous in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. So was it his will for them to have scant, little, or plenty?
Plenty?
There's the word, plenteous. He will make you plenteous. And it goes on to say, verse 11, these scriptures are quoted in Romans in the New Testament. He said, this commandment which I command you this day is not hidden from you. It's not far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. He's saying, this is not something you can't find out. It's not something that's too hard that you can't understand. It's close to you. You can hear it. You can say it. You can do it. Verse 15, see, I have set before you this day life, good, death, and evil, in that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes and judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God bless you in the land whither you go to possess it. The questions about God's will should not be unanswered for us who read and believe the scriptures. He has revealed plainly, clearly, what his will is in these covenants. Does he want us to live or die?
Live.
That you may live. Is that right?
Yes.
Does he want, see, verse 15, I have set before you this day what?
Life
and good, and death and evil. So which one does he want us to have?
Life.
Or is it a divine mystery that we will not be able to understand?
No.
Now, you know, it's easy to answer this question if you just look at it and answer it, but people have convoluted this, they have complicated this, and they have tried to tell us, preachers have tried to tell us, theologians have tried to tell us, well, yeah, I know it looks bad and it feels bad, but it could be a blessing in disguise. You just never know. Well, then I'm hopelessly confused, because the Lord told me that if I would listen to him and follow him, I would have life and good. If I didn't listen to him, I would have death and curse and evil. But you're telling me that I may obey him fully and wind up with curse and evil because God uses it to teach me and develop me in ways I won't understand. Well, which did he want me to do? Which does he want me to have? Now see, the enemy has put these ideas out and confused people and deceived people. No, it's very simple. God's a good God.
Yes.
His will and plan is
good.
Right?
Yes.
The psalmist said he is good and he does good. And so skip on down. Excuse me, to verse 19. Verse 19, chapter 30. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your seed may live. Now notice how much emphasis is on you. I've set it before you. In other words, it's not my choice. It's your choice. And this is what many have not believed and not understood. I know I was watching one time an interview on this internationally known show, and this man was interviewing this well-known pastor. And he began to ask him, he said, well, I thought God's a God of love. How can a God who's a God of love send people to a hell? How is that love? And I saw the pastor struggle a little bit to answer. And I said, Lord, what's the best way to answer that? I just asked him a question. What's the best way? And in my heart, immediately came up to my mind, the Lord said, it's not my choice. Is that true or not?
Yes.
It's not my choice. whether people go to heaven or hell. It's their choice. Now see, a lot of folks don't believe that. They'd rather believe, no, God's controlling everything, and that means He's choosing for everybody and predetermined it for everybody. It's all set in stone before you were born. Not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what it reveals. If it's already predetermined and preset, there can be no if.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. There's no if. If you do this, get this outcome. If you do that, you get another outcome. That can't be if God's already predetermined it. Read it again, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before who?
You.
What?
Life
and death, blessing and cursing. And in case you hesitated to know which one to pick, he tells you, choose life, right?
Yes.
Now, I know that sounds funny, but what does he want us to have?
Life.
Then he doesn't want us to have the curse, right? He doesn't want us to have the curse. So anything we find in the curse, which we over the next several days, we're going to look at that closely. If it's in the curse, we know it is not God's will for us to have it.
Right?
Right? If it's in the blessing, we know it is God's will for us to have it.
Yes.
Don't be confused anymore. It is written. It is right. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that both you and your seed may live. Everybody said out loud, I choose life.
I choose life.
I choose blessing.
I choose blessing.
I choose listening to God.
I choose listening to God.
I choose obeying God.
I choose obeying God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, our time's up again today, but it's wonderful. The Bible said the truth will do what for you? It'll make you free. It will clear up the cloud and confusion, and you get free, and it's good to be free. So say it like we do sometimes. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Well, we'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.